Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We are here tonight, and we bless the Lord. We thank him once again for being here. We thank God that you are here tonight. Tonight, our subject, as we get into it, our subject is, does Jesus trust you? Does Jesus trust you? It may be a topic. It may be a subject that maybe you've never heard before, but nonetheless, scripture does speak about this dynamic, Jesus trusting other people. It's right here in scripture. And so we want to break this down and talk about it tonight and see what it means for us and see what it means for those who are in the world. Amen. And so once again, we thank the Lord for giving us this opportunity to open up his word. And we pray that for the next few minutes that you might be tuned in to the word of God. We are going to pray and we're going to get right into it. Let me just say good evening to my brother Frank, Doris, Tracy T. Good to see you. Amen. We just bless the Lord and we thank the Lord for allowing you to be here. We pray that tonight that your time spent in God's word will be a fruitful one indeed. Amen. All righty, we're going to pray and we're going to jump right into this word for this evening. Amen. So Lord, we bless your name. We thank you once again for giving us this opportunity to open up your word. And Lord, once again, we will be confronted with the truths of scripture. And Lord, we pray that as we are confronted with the truth of scripture, Lord, that we might apply them to our hearts. Lord, that we might not just be encouraged, but Lord, we might be enlightened. And Lord, we might even be convicted by your word. Lord, I pray that your word will seek us out, Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray that your word will dig in deep to where we are. And Lord, that we might be honest and truthful concerning what your word says to us, Lord Jesus. So Lord, we love you today. And we thank you for all of those under the sound of your word today. Lord, draw those who need to hear these words at this time to this place on the world wide web. Lord, have your way. We bless you, we honor you, and we thank you. And in your name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Forgive that little guffaw at the beginning. The little opening was shorter than what I thought, and I didn't realize that we were on. But here we go. Amen. Here we go. All righty. Does Jesus trust you? Amen. Does Jesus trust you? Now, when we get right into it, we can see that scripture speaks definitely on this. We're gonna go to a few places in scripture, but where we want to stay, where we want to make our foundation, we're gonna go to the book of John. John chapter number two. And we're gonna read a little bit here, and then we're going to make our point here at the end of this particular chapter, okay? John chapter number two, and let's start here in verse number 12. We're going to read quite a bit before we get to our focus verses. Chapter number two, John chapter two, starting in verse number 12. It says, after this, he went down to Capernaum, he and his mother and his brethren and his disciples, and they continued there not many days, 13. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. 15. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple and the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables. Verse 16. And said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence. Make not my father's house an house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. 18. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, what sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? 19. Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus said. Notice what they said. Notice what this says. They believed, the disciples, they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus said. Verse 23. Now, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. Verse number 24. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. I wanted to give you a little background about what was going on here at this particular time in the early stages of Jesus' ministry. But we reach down here and they misunderstood Jesus when in verse number 19, when Jesus made this statement, destroy this temple and I will raise it up in 3 days. And they surmise among themselves, well, this temple has been 46 years in the making. And in actuality, the temple had not yet even been completed yet. It was still under construction at that time. But they said 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? You're gonna tear down this building, this temple, and you're gonna raise it back up in 3 days? Come on. Verse number 21, but Jesus spake, they didn't understand. He was talking about his body, that he was going to die, he was gonna be crucified, and he will rise again on the third day. Obviously, that's what Jesus was talking about. When therefore he was risen from the dead, the disciples remembered what Jesus had said unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. Now we come to the crux of what we really want to get at this evening. When Jesus was in Jerusalem at the Passover, in the feast day, many believed in his name. Many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. Keep that very close to you. They believed in his name because of the miracles which he did. Now, miracles played a role in the ministry of Jesus. Miracles played a great role in the ministry of Jesus, as we know. And the disciples, they believed on his miracles. And so the miracles played a part. As we said, as he says here in verse number 22, once again, they believed the scripture, they believed his word, but they also believed on the things that he had done. They believed in the miracles. But notice what it says. Many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. But Jesus, who jumping down to verse number 25, knows the heart of each and every individual who believes. It says that Jesus did not commit himself unto them. Now, don't get thrown off by that word commit. Don't get thrown off by that word commit, because that word commit in the original language is Greek that we are not reading here. We're reading in English. That word commit is the same word believe in the previous verse. It's the same word. And so this can be read, but Jesus did not put their trust, believe, faith. He did not put their trust. That word commit is in trust or trust. He did not put his trust in them. They believed on him, but Jesus in turn did not put his trust in them. What is going on? Why? Because he knew. Because Jesus knew the hearts of men. Jesus knew the hearts of people. He understood, as I understand this, as I read this, I see the fact that Jesus, that there are types of faith. There's only one type of faith that is going to save you and I. You and I are saved. We are born again by faith. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of work, lest any man should boast. We are saved by faith, grace through faith. Okay? That's how we are saved. What type of faith is it that saves us? See, Jesus saw something here because he saw into their hearts. He saw into their hearts. What he understood, and we're going to get into this, what he understood was that their faith was fickle. Their faith was floundering. Some say their faith simply wasn't mature. Listen, there are many different people are going to read these verses with a different understanding. There are those who read these verses and come away with a different interpretation. So let me make that clear. And you may have a different interpretation than what I am drawing out. You may have a different interpretation. But what I see here is that their faith was not genuine. Their faith was not genuine. And the fact is that there are many in our churches, many, and you don't know who they are, neither do I, but there are many in our churches, local churches. There are just many who are nominal Christians in name only. They say they believe, but they do not believe. I've heard testimonies of individuals. One testimony in particular that I heard many years ago, and I've heard it many times since, of a woman who was a teacher in Sunday school in her particular church for 40 years teaching Sunday school. And she's watching television one particular day, don't know if it was a Sunday or any other day, but she hears the message of salvation. And it strikes her heart, and she is convicted. And she is born again. She gets saved. She wasn't saved for those 40 years that she's in her church, a member, teaching Sunday school. But she was never saved until that moment in time where she gave her heart to the Lord as she was watching television. She prayed that prayer that brought her into the kingdom. There are many who are in our churches who are in that same way. God knows who they are. Once again, I don't and you don't. God knows them. And they are nominal Christians. They come, they do their time. They're involved in ministry. They do all that they do. But once again, the heart is bereft of the Spirit of God. There's no Christ in the heart. It's a sad fact, but it is yet a fact. It is yet a fact. And Scripture once again speaks on this. In Matthew chapter 7, at the end of the chapter, those last two or three verses are powerful verses that speak about the unsaved Christian, that person who says I am, but really they are not. And they don't even realize that they are not. That's a sad way to be. But these people, the Bible says here that many believed in his name, but Jesus did not commit. He did not trust in them because their faith was not genuine. Now, there are several types of faith that will not save. There are several. We're going to talk about three different types of faith that do not save. They are not saving faith. And then we're going to talk about saving faith. Amen. When we look, once again, we said that their faith, it was surface, it was shallow, it was faulty, it was fickle. And Jesus knew these individuals' hearts. Now, there definitely were some that believed. Now, in contrast, when I believe that John may have put this here, or the Holy Spirit has this placed here, because in the very next chapter, we're going to have our first encounter with Nicodemus. Nicodemus, who was on the other side, he is the polar opposite of what these individuals are. The polar opposite. And so there's a contrast here. These are people that say they believe, but they really don't. Here comes one in chapter number 3 who is seeking, and he comes and he believes. Okay? And so we see that there's a contrast that is going to take place here. And so the fact that when we look at this first type of faith, and that first type of faith is the faith that we're talking about here in John chapter number 2 and verse number 23. The fact is that these individuals could not deny their eyes. They could not refute what they saw. What they saw was right in their face. And no doubt it was something spectacular that they had seen. What was the miracle? It was the turning of the water into wine. And there was a wow factor. There was a wow factor involved in this particular miracle. It was Jesus. The Bible says that this was Jesus' first miracle. He sort of presenting himself with this miracle. And it was wow. Look at this. Wow. And so the people, and once again, a little bit of time passes, but they still remember this miracle. And here they are at the Feast of Passover. And they saw, because they saw the miracles which he did. Now, some time may have passed from this time, because chronologically, we know that the wedding in Cana and the water into wine was his first miracle, but we see plural here at the end of the chapter, miracles, which he did. So Christ may have performed other miracles. There may be a slight time gap here, but the fact is they believed because of what they believed because of what they saw. They believed there was once again that wow factor. And I'm going to call it the I like what I see kind of faith. I like what I see. You know, they were charged. They saw and they said, yes, this is it. This is it, based upon what they saw. Now, when we get right down to the root, once again, Jesus did not commit himself to those who were simply basing their understanding of who he was simply based on what they saw him do. Simply on what they saw him do. Once again, his miracles speak for him. But if you just say, it's just about that, I like that, then that is problematic faith. That is not what saving faith is. Saving faith is more than the miracles which he performed. As great as they were, saving faith goes beyond just seeing, is believing. It's so much more than that. So that curiosity factor, it was there. Now, when we go to Acts chapter number 8, I want to go to Acts chapter 8, and I want to put right alongside this the story of another individual who falls right into this particular area. I like what I see. This I like what I see kind of faith. Now, once again, Christians on both sides have differences in how they view these particular events. We go to Acts chapter number 8, and we know the story of Simon the sorcerer. The Bible talks about Simon the sorcerer. I won't read the entire story, but the Bible talks about Simon the sorcerer as being an individual who saw the miracles, who saw the things that the apostles were doing, and the Bible says that he believed, and he got baptized along with everybody else. That's what the Bible says. And it's the same word believe that we see here, the same word. However, he tries to buy, he wants to buy the gift of God. He wants to buy the power of God. You have to understand, this man was a sorcerer. People used to look up to him. They used to laud him and say, wow, what a man, a great man of God, a great man. Look at the things that he can do. And now he seems to have turned his life around. Excuse me. The Bible says he followed after Saul, and he sees Saul. And let me read what it says here starting here in chapter number 8. Let me start reading in verse number 17. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money. He offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. He wanted to buy the power. He wanted to buy the ability to lay hands on people so that they could receive the Holy Ghost. Okay. Now, verse number 20. But Peter said to him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Now, the next two verses that he speaks, once again, different people read this a different way, but let me say how I have interpreted these verses the years that I have understood them or believe that I have understood them. That Simon also, his faith was not genuine. I know there are those who say that he was saved, he was born again. I am of the belief that Simon's faith was not genuine, because the language that Peter uses betrays what a Christian is, who a Christian is, what a Christian is about. It betrays. Let me read what it says in verse number 20, verse 21. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. He was a Christian. If he was a Christian at this time. It cannot be said that a newly born again Christian, his heart is not right with God. I'm talking about a newly born again Christian. A newly born again Christian. He was fresh. His heart is not right with God. Verse number 22. Repent, therefore, of thy wickedness. Repent of your wickedness. He's accusing this Christian person, if he is a Christian, of being wicked. Okay? Not that Christian people don't do bad things. That's not what we're trying to say. But in the case of Simon the sorcerer here, he's calling him wicked, and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. He goes on in verse number 23. He gets even a little deeper, a little harsher. For I perceive that thou art in, and this is Paul, this is Peter speaking under the unction of the Holy Spirit. I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness. This is a man that has just been born again. Wicked, in the gall of bitterness, heart not right with God, you need to repent. That language betrays someone who is actually a Christian. And so for those reasons, I say that Simon's faith was not genuine. You are in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. No newly born again person is in a bond of iniquity. What Peter seems to be saying here is that Simon is still yet in his sins. You are still in bondage. You are still in bondage. You're not there yet. You're not saved. Okay? And so for those reasons, this is why I come out on the side saying that Simon was not genuine in his faith. Just like, once again, these people back in John, if I can go back to John, these people also, they were not genuine because Jesus did not commit himself to them. Jesus knew their hearts. These individuals had that type of faith that said, I like what I see. I like what I see. Now it goes on. It goes on. In the book of John, chapter number 6. We're going to stay in John. John chapter number 6. And in John chapter 6 and verse number 26. John chapter 6 and verse number 26. Here's what we read. Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles. Now, this is a different group now. Now, this group is not, you saw what I did, okay? But it's not about that for you so much. But because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. You ate and you were filled. They had that, what can you do for me kind of faith. What can you do for me kind of faith? That I like how this makes me feel kind of faith. I like how this makes me feel. I'm full. Woo, he makes me feel good. Just being here. You know, listen, some people enjoy church. Let me just put that out there. Some people enjoy church. Some people, and once again, I'm not picking on unsaved people. I'm talking about unsaved people in the hope that the Holy Spirit will bring light and conviction. Some people enjoy the church atmosphere. Even unsaved folk, some of them enjoy being around other church folk. Some folk that are unsaved like being around church music. The music, Some folk come for the music. Some folk come for the music because it just, some people just come because it's Sunday and it's what we do on Sunday. Sunday is the Lord's day and that's what we do. But that's as far as it goes. There is no commitment. That's where some are. That's where some have been. Okay. And there should be, that's no secret. But these individuals, once again, Jesus says, you are following me because you ate the loaves and were filled. What can you do for me kind of faith? I like how you make me feel. You see, and that faith, that's not saving faith. If you are following Jesus because of what you can get, if you are following, if anyone is following Jesus simply because of what they can get from him, that's not saving faith. That's not saving faith at all. You know, some people, some individuals in their lives, they've gone through some difficult times in their life, as we all do and have gone through difficult times. But there are some people who have had difficult times in their life and have acknowledged the fact that God has been with them, that God has seen them through hard times. God. And yet, there's still no salvation. And their life is based on something that God did in their life, something that they attribute to God. Maybe it was an accident that they had and God saved them. Maybe it was a sickness that they had and they got better. They were healed slowly or progressively, whatever it was. And they give that acknowledgement to God. And they give their lives. They start coming to church and start doing church stuff. But they're still not saved. When did they get saved? When did this transaction, when did salvation actually take place? And some people find themselves in that position of just living their life in such a way as a tribute to what God did in my life. But they've still never yet accepted him into their hearts. There are those who are in that state. And so what can you do for me? A what can you do for me kind of faith is a faith that does not work. And in the end, it is a faith that will not save. It does not save. So the question that must be asked for number one, for the I like what I see kind of faith, and I like how this makes me feel kind of faith is, listen, does Jesus trust you? Does Jesus trust you? We go to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter number 13. Matthew chapter number 13, and we see here in the parable of the sower, we see in verse number, let's start in verse number 18. Let's start in verse number 18. We won't read the whole parable, but we'll just start here in verse number 18. Hear ye, Matthew 13 and 18. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and eateth away and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into the stony places, the same is he that heareth the word and anon with joy received it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth, because of the word, by and by he is offended. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is not easily snatched away. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is not easily snatched away. If we understand where our faith is, if we understand what has happened to us, and I know that when we got saved, we probably didn't understand all of the spiritual dynamics that were taking place or that had taken place in our hearts. I'm sure we didn't understand. I know I didn't understand any of it. But faith, true saving faith, cannot be easily snatched away. Because you have placed your faith at the start of your Christian life, you have placed your faith in the finished work of Christ. You believed in him, on him. You believed in what he did. You believed in who he is and what he has done. I know all of that comes out later, but that's what you have done. That's what I did when I said yes to Jesus. When I said, when I said, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. And I didn't say the traditional sinner's prayer. I knew nothing of that. I just said, Lord, help me. Help me. That prayer came some few minutes or whatever later. But God knew and God saw. He knew and he saw. And our faith is not so easily taken away. But once again, these individuals here in verse number 21, and I'm still in Matthew 13 and 21, these individuals, it says here, they had no root. They had no root in themselves. It was just based on this particular group. It was based on emotion. It was based on emotion only. It says that there was a joy, but they only endured for a while. They heard and they went out. Wow, 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 wow. Just like the wilds we were talking about before. But something was missing. Something was missing, because as soon as hard times came, they just completely fell off. They were gone. They were gone. And true faith is not so easily commandeered. True faith in Christ is not so easily shipwrecked. Okay? So that's important to understand. That's important to understand. And so we must, it's not the fact that when we get saved, it's not the fact that we bear down. It's the fact that when we first get saved, our joy is complete. Understand what happens. We become new creations. That's a hard concept to grasp sometimes. We become new creations. We literally are not the same person. We are not the same person. When we get saved, our life is invaded, taken over by the Spirit of God. Our sin nature is still down in there. The carnal man is still stuck. He's still in there trying to work his way out. But we are now indwelt by the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God makes us into this new being that has a different set, that has a different mind and different motives and a different heart. Not perfection. All of what I'm saying has nothing to do with being perfect, but you're just changed. You're just different. Everything is different because of the indwelling Holy Spirit and, of course, the divine nature that we have. From 2 Peter, 2 Peter talked about the divine nature. We cannot help but be different people. We cannot help it. And so this is what happened. So it's not our salvation. Saving faith is not based on, I like what I see. What are you going to do for me? What are you going to do for me? Saving faith is not about being curious about what is he going to do? What is he going to do? Because if you base your Christianity, if you base your faith in the Lord simply on the miracles that he does, and not that we don't expect him to do miracles, because we believe that God can do the impossible. We still believe that God performs miracles. But if you base your faith in him simply on the fact that he does miracles, simply on that, just that. I serve him because he does great miracles. That's not going to be enough. Because there are going to be times when you pray for a miracle that the miracle may not come. There are going to be times when you pray for someone to get healed and they're not going to get healed. Okay, so you cannot base your faith simply, on that, simply on that. We're going to talk about that in just a few, but it's not just about that. The third type of faith stay right here in the book of John. John chapter number six, and I'm going to go to verse number 53. John chapter 6 and verse number 53. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoa. Whoa. If you are following Jesus and you hear Jesus make a statement like that for the first time, and he makes a statement like that, what are you thinking? What are you thinking? Now, let me just make this clear that Jesus had, at this particular time, Jesus had an entourage. Jesus had people that were following him around, looking at him, watching him, listening to him. Jesus had a group that was just with him or everywhere he went. Okay? And what Jesus did here in verse number 53, he narrowed it down. Jesus narrowed down these curiosity seekers, the people that he did not put his trust in, of the people who said they were but really were not. Jesus, with this statement, he put them away. He says, once again, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Up until this time, these people are following Jesus. Woo, he's doing these miracles. Woo, our bellies are full. Whoa, we are in like Flint. We're good. That's what's going on with these people. And he makes this statement, and you can hear the mic drop when he makes this statement. They go from wow, we're following Jesus. Look at what he's doing, and look at what we're getting. They went from this I like what I hear kind of faith. They went from this I like what I see kind of faith to a what you talking about, Willis, kind of faith. Like, what did you just say? What, eat your flesh, drink your blood? Come again? What are you talking about? Verse number 54. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. 55. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. They're standing there listening to Jesus talk about flesh and blood, and talking about eating flesh and drinking blood. 56, he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me and I in him. Jesus is going on and on, and they're standing there listening and going. Finally, when we get to verse number 60, let's start in 59. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. 60. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, disciples are followers. They were following after him. When they heard this what? When they heard Jesus talking about drinking his blood and eating his flesh, to their ears, cannibalism. Let's put it right out there. To their ears, to their unspiritual ears, Jesus is speaking cannibalism. And many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? I don't know what he's talking about, but no. Mm-mm. When Jesus knew in himself, remember, he knew all men. He did not need for anyone. Back in John, he did not need anybody to tell him what's in man, because he knew the hearts of men. He knew. Many therefore, 61, when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? Does this offend you? And he goes on, he speaks about to his disciples, and he points out that there's one of them that does not believe. And at this particular point in his ministry, at verse number six, chapter number six, he's near the end of his ministry. Almost the whole of John, the rest of John, it's from the point in time that last week. But here, he points out the fact that Judas already, without calling his name, he says, one of you here does not believe. For Jesus, 64, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. He says, but there are some of you that believe not. Now, once again, many of Jesus' disciples, we're not talking about the 12, many didn't follow him anymore. They broke off right there. You start talking about eating your flesh and drinking your blood, that's a no for me. And they left. They left. So once again, this type of faith, it was a like what I hear kind of faith. They enjoyed the things that Jesus said until he said something that they didn't agree with. Something that they couldn't get out of their heads. And it once again, it proved the faultiness and the fickleness of their faith. They backed up. They backed away. And many did not follow him after that. Many did not follow him after that. And so you see, Jesus needed to put that dividing line. Jesus needed to put it the way he put it in order to make that separation. And that's exactly what happened. So these are three types of faith that do not qualify as saving faith. And don't get me wrong. Don't get Romans. I don't want to get it wrong that Romans chapter 10 and verse number 17 has no meaning here. Because once I said, hear what I said. I said, they have this, I like what I hear kind of faith. Faith comes by hearing. Faith, genuine saving faith, comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. We already read from John that the disciples, they believed on the scripture and the things that he has said. So faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God or through the word of God. We understand that. But once again, because their faith, going back to John chapter number 2, because their faith was superficial at best, Jesus did not put his own faith in him. He did not commit himself to them based on their faulty faith. But there is a faith. There is a faith, of course, that is acceptable. And I'm just simply going to call that Savior-based faith. Savior-based faith. The I know who he is and what he has done kind of faith. That's the kind of faith that's going to save you. That's going to save you. And once again, that's when we got saved, we didn't know the theological aspects of it all. We didn't understand the theological aspects of it all. But that's what we were doing. We were putting our faith in who he is and what he has done. What he has done. And when we talk about what he has done, I'm not talking about the miracles that he did. I'm not talking about the miracles that he did that we read about in the Gospels. I'm talking about his cross work. Who he is and what he has done. What he accomplished on the cross. That's what we put our faith in when we got saved. When you said that sinner's prayer, if you said a particular sinner's prayer, when you said, Jesus, forgive me of my sins, come into my heart. Lord, I confess you. Lord, I believe that you died for me. And this is what you were confessing. This is what you were embracing. You were putting your faith in who Christ is, the Savior, and what he has done, what he accomplished, what he finished on the cross, his cross work. That's what you were doing. And if anyone is going to get saved, it has to be through the cross, by the cross, faith in his finished work. The fact that when I believe, I'm justified. When I believe, I am converted. The fact that when I believe, I am regenerated. When I believe, all of these things happen. They happen almost simultaneously, but they all happen when I get saved because I placed my faith in who he is and what he did on the cross. What happened there at Golgotha? What happened at Calvary? Some say, what good can come from what one man dying on a cross on a hill far away? What can come? Who's going to get saved? What good, possible good can come from that? Every good that there is comes from that cross. Every good that there can be comes from that cross. The cross. And until our faith is there and there alone, salvation cannot happen. Salvation does not happen. Our faith needs to be in Christ, who he is, and what he has done. And so, if you are watching, if you are listening, and you have not placed your faith in Christ and his finished work, it must become more than just attending church. It must become more than just doing the God things. It must become more than just doing the Sunday morning thing. It must become more than that. It's Jesus Christ, who he is, what he has done, what he accomplished on the cross. And it's only Holy Spirit conviction that can bring this understanding, that can bring about this reckoning in our hearts and lives. It's only through the Holy Spirit's conviction. The convicting power of the Holy Ghost. It's more than just intellectual assent. I believe. I got it. I know what you mean, right? That's good. That's good. And unfortunately, once again, unfortunately, that is where many are living. Many are living an intellectual brand of Christianity. They got all the facts and figures and everything about Jesus stored safely in their mind. But the reality takes place in the heart. They've been carried away by a church's programs, carried away by a church's music, carried away by the charismatic nature of their leader or pastor or people in the church, carried away by all of those things, and not ever had a personal encounter with Jesus Christ. We can get carried away. We can get carried away with other things, and Jesus can get left behind. I'm having a good time. I'm shouting, I'm dancing, the music is good. Everything is so good, and yet there's no change. That cannot be. That cannot be. That's not the type of faith that will save. And so if you're watching and listening, and you don't know the Lord for yourself, you don't know the Lord for yourself, if it's just come to just being in church, being a part of what a church is doing, it's more than that. It's more than that. Jesus Christ wants to come into your heart. Jesus Christ wants to do a work in your life. It can't be done when our attention is on other things. It can't be done if we put our faith in other things. It has to be in Christ. It doesn't mean you have to cry a river of tears like I did when I got saved. It doesn't mean that. It means that you have to come face to face with the fact that you are a sinner. If you're watching, listening, you don't know the Lord yourself. You have to come face to face with the fact that you are going to have to pay for your sin unless you confess those sins and give them to Jesus, and he will take them away. Jesus wants to do a work in your heart. Does Jesus trust you? Are you living under the banner of any one of these spurious types of faith? Is that where you are? If so, you need Savior-based faith. Who he is and what he has done. It's the only faith that will save you. Lord, we bless you tonight. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, for giving us another opportunity to open up your word, Lord Jesus. Lord, we know that our faith is in you, Lord Jesus. If you're watching right now, if you're listening, Sister Lord, bring me in this direction. If you're watching and listening right now, and you don't know the Lord, you don't know the Lord. You've stumbled upon this word today, or you're watching and you realize maybe this is where you are. If you don't know the Lord, and we just mentioned three different types of faith that there can be. There may be many others. You may be in a totally different place. But the fact is that you have not placed your faith in Christ and his finished work. If that is you at this particular time, I'm going to just pray a simple prayer. And this prayer, there's no magic in this prayer, not at all. There's no magic. But once again, if this prayer is prayed in faith, then Jesus will save you. Jesus will save you. I'm going to pray it. You can repeat after me. You can pray your own prayer. You can pray your own prayer. But this is just spoken as a guide to lead you in the way that you need to go. Repeat after me. If you don't know the Lord yourself, dear Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sin. Lord, I no longer put my faith in other things. Lord, I trust you. Lord, your word says that if I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in my heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead, that I shall be saved. Lord, I believe. Lord, I thank you for what you have done for me. Lord, I thank you for dying for me on the cross. Lord, help me to live for you all the days of my life as I keep my faith in you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. God is good. God is good. Listen, if you prayed that prayer with us, I want you to contact us. Contact us, send us an email. Go to That's the Word Men. That's THATSTHEWORDMIN, one word. That's the word men at gmail.com. Send us a little line. Let us know you prayed the prayer. And we'll be so glad if you did. Amen. God is good. God is on the throne. We just bless him. We honor him and we thank him for what he is doing in our midst. Amen. God is good. Let me get to a few questions here before we close here tonight. Let's see, Frank. I always say that true born again Christians change their ways because the Lord causes us to practice the statutes and carefully obey his rules. Ezekiel 36. Do you agree? Well, of course, once again, when we become born again, when we become indwelt with the Holy Spirit, we become different people. Literally, we become different people, new creations. We cannot help but be new creations with the indwelling Holy Spirit. We cannot stay the same. And so, yes, the Lord, through his Spirit, does cause us to practice his statutes, talking about the word of God. And as you say, carefully obey his rules. We now have been indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit helps us to do that as we keep our faith in Christ. Amen. Hope that helps. Linda has a question. Amen. He who eats my flesh drinks my blood in me and I in him. Faith is this. Is this like having communion? Well, what Jesus did there when he made that statement, he was clarifying part of at least what communion is all about. Eating, partaking of his flesh and partaking of his blood. You know, it's part of the fellowship that we have with the Lord. So yes, he was in a sense explaining to us this dynamic of that when we gather together to take communion, that it's a special time, and this is what is happening. Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no you have no life in you. So we need to come together to do this. Amen. It's important. It's important that we do. Amen. I hope that helps. Amen. So thank you. Thank you so much. Amen. All righty. Well, I want to thank the Lord once again for giving us this opportunity to open up his word. And tomorrow night, we'll be back here. And on tomorrow night, we're going to continue in the Cutting It Right Bible study in our series entitled Cross Talking. That'll be tomorrow night. So join us if you can. That'll be at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Amen. We're looking forward to that. Amen. Sunday. And on Sunday afternoon, we will continue. That's at 4 o'clock p.m. We're going to continue in our series entitled Unsung Faith, examining powerful and encouraging faith from unexpected places. Amen. So join us. That'll be Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We're looking forward to that. Amen. So on that, once again, I pray that something spoken from the Word of God tonight has been an encouragement, has been a help to your heart and life. We pray that something spoken might help you along the way. This particular ministry exists as a help. We are not a church, but we do. We pray that we do provide some guidance and some direction and some encouragement as your week progresses. Amen. And so that is one of the reasons why we do exist. Amen. So on that, thank you for joining us, and we will see you next time. May God bless you.